Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am here with someone that I have the greatest amount of respect. Up front, no hiding, he's a friend of mine. But he and I, as friends, have been very, through the years, let's say, have been very honest with each other. But his name is Mayor Peter Marchetti. And from the get-go, I think he's doing a wonderful job. And I mean that not because he's a friend, but look at all that's happening. Look at all that's happening. And all you have to say is, wow, there's a lot going on. I hear people complaining about the streets torn up. Yeah, they're torn up, but they're going to be fixed. And you know why they have to do that? I'll say it one more time for the people who nailed me the other day at an event. You have to, in stages, not, they can't have all this equipment sitting around. So they bring it in, they tear it up, then they come back and fix it. But you must admit, when the streets are done, they're beautiful. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. I told him, but he still undid it. Mayor Peter Marchetti, how are you, brother?
I am well. How are you?
Well, I'm older, fatter, and balder than the last time you saw me, but I'm still here.
I'm probably more grayer than the last time you saw
me.
Yes,
you are. I wasn't going to say anything about that. I was going to be kind. But
it's all good.
Yeah, it is. You're doing a great job. In my opinion, I don't care who criticizes me anymore. I got two things left in life, my family and time. Don't waste my time with malarkey.
Well, you know, I think that as you kind of started the show, we've been honest with each other, and
yeah.
I don't think I've ever met a person that I agree with them 100% of the time. And so it's important for folks, especially when we look at the dialogue that's taking place at the national level.
Oh.
You know, we can agree to disagree on issue one.
Right.
And then agree and work together on two, three, and four, and then again disagree on issue five. And I think that we've lost sight of that as we, you know, go through a community. And quite frankly, life's too short. I got elected to do a job. I don't think that I'm doing anything that I haven't said or what they talked about during the course of a campaign. Compromise and collaboration are at the forefront of what we're doing. I'm not going to claim to be 1,000% right on every issue, but there are definitely behaviors that are taking place in our downtown that need some correction too. Folks may agree or disagree with the manner in which I'm trying to make those changes. But I think as a community, we need to be providing much more help. I think that's evident in the pipeline of housing that the city has been working on for several years. And, you know, the former administration has done some great work with teeing up a good number of units, and we're carrying on with, you know, projects that are happening through West Side Legends, projects happening on Wendell Ave, projects happening with Milltown Capital and Woodlawn Ave, progress with the old Hibbert School. Yeah. And so we know what we need to do. We're doing it. The dilemma with housing that folks really don't understand is that there are two major obstacles to get through. And the first one is funding.
Right.
And the second one is an understanding that you just can't build 100 units of housing in 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, some of the housing projects that are going to be finished later this fall have been in motion for 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
And so we have continued the planning so that we don't have to wait 3 to 5 years. There's stuff in the pipeline already happening. So it's not like you do all this. Okay, good. We're complete. Now we can start again. We have been phasing in housing projects as we go along.
And I think too, the other, maybe it's my experience as an old beat cop on North Street, but it's not, I know we need homes, But for a lot of the homeless people, there's so many other things that we need to provide for them, and counseling and all kinds of things. So it's not a one horse issue. So many cases, it's just an unbelievable issue. And I applaud the city. I applaud the mayor. You've taken some real. I watched those things, you know. And I told you, if you put recliners in a bar in the back, I'd come live. But right now, I have those services where I watch it from, a recliner in a bar. But some of the people, it's and you just made an excellent point, and I'll give you an example. I have a broken breathing machine that I use. I brought it in. First, the parts were going to be mid-July, then mid-August. Now it's mid-September. Supply line. It's the same with everything. So, how would I say this, kind Peter? Don't be so critical. You've talked until you've walked a mile in his shoes. How's that? Pretty good? I made
Well,
that
that's
up.
good. I mean, I think you're right. There are a variety of services. Some folks in the community continue to share some information. Information looking at housing first models. But really, housing is only one piece of the puzzle. The services that folks need are far greater than just housing, I think. And
I
so
agree.
we need to kind of look at that and really focus on how we can get them everything they need. And there are things that we could explore and put together. When I first became mayor, the folks that work in the field would know that when I heard the words harm reduction model, I shuddered because my knowledge of it at that point in time was, what are we doing? Are we enabling people to continue doing something that they shouldn't be doing? Well, the more that you learn, there's something to be said for a harm reduction model. And one is the chosen drug that they're using is evaluated before they use it. So if it's laced with fentanyl, we know it beforehand, so you can kind of help prevent. But if you can't get someone into recovery immediately, which I think is 100% of the time, you need to be open enough for a method to save lives rather than expect an outcome like immediately. And so, my viewpoint of that has changed, and how do we figure out a way that that could potentially work in the community with some other models and other ways, and try to figure out a bigger piece to the puzzle.
And I let me just applaud you, because it, well, I hope the audience witnessed and heard that. When he has additional information that conflicts with his belief, he changes his belief. I've known him to do that since I've known him. If you present something to him and he says, you know, like you just said, and I just think I we cannot minimalize the intensity and dimensions of this problem. And I think you've now realized that, and you're going at it full bore, full steam, and your team. I just, folks, it's an awful thing, but I grew up in the North End, and I can tell you in the summertime behind the outfield fence at Wacona Park, it was Hobo Village. And I can also tell you, growing up on Wacona, in the North End behind North Junior High, there were always people camping out in the summer. So to say this is a new situation isn't quite accurate. So.
No, it's not a new situation. I think it has grown
Growing.
exponentially,
Yes.
maybe over the last 5 years. And I know that folks always point to COVID as a piece of the problem. I'm not sure that it's COVID. It may have been happening prior to COVID.
I think COVID brought it to light.
Well, and right, but I think if you looked at back in 2016, it was much less public, and maybe at that point in time, we should have been looking at how do we team up services at the same time as trying to figure out, why they're homeless. And someone might say to you, "Well, why are they homeless make a difference?" And I think the approach has to be totally different. If I'm homeless, because I've lost my job or I've had some really ex horrible trauma experiences where, there was an illness that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars, the approach to helping that person is different, than the approach helping someone with a mental illness. And as I said, folks are really great about sharing stuff. And somebody shared a number of TED Talks, and one of them was actually talking about one or two people using the housing first model and explaining, like, night number one, that this woman had the apartment. Instead of sleeping in her bed, she slept on the floor. For several nights after that, instead of sleeping in her apartment, she slept outside by the dumpster. And so to work through the issues that that person was having, would be different than, a variety of other stuff. If someone has an addiction issue, you can't just provide housing. You need to provide housing and the services to help. And I think that's why things like the transitional housing that's being built right now on West Housatonic and the 9 units at Zion Lutheran Church are important, because it'll be someone's first step, not their last step, but their first step into mainstreaming back into housing. And both entities will have services that are available that can help. And I think as we get prepared to open the first, we owe a debt of gratitude to the folks at Zion Lutheran Church for the use of the facility. And then ServiceNet and Hearthway for teaming together to do the projects. And I think that folks need to recognize that the first piece of it, right, the Housing Resource Center, is all city funded through ARPA designation, because projects like that aren't eligible for state and federal funding. And so the amenities that you and I take for granted, can now be provided in one location. We've recognized the need for public restrooms, and within the last couple of weeks, we sent a press release out with all of the public restrooms available, between city parks and some downtown buildings. There are over 20 places. Now, there is only going to be one place that's available 24/7, and that is the bathrooms at the police station. But as we go through this, we as the city need to be very vigilant in our work, but we also need to be patient. And we've had some issues, and I've had some conversations with some folks that go to the senior center, where the bathroom is open now at the senior center for all to use as a public restroom. There are some that are using the restroom, but not the toilet. And so, if these restrooms are open and available, They need to be maintained and cleaned on a regular basis, something that we can't be doing every hour
Right.
as a city. If they can be cleaned once or twice a day. So it's imperative that we have people using the restrooms the proper way.
Yeah, and that I can remember one other time they opened it. I believe you were the head of the parade. They opened it for the 4th of July parade, and it was a disaster afterwards. So I would just say to people, if you're going to use those restrooms, use them as you would your own kind of situation. Again, it's a major, and then we'll jump on. I got to get to this next one. A major issue, but it's complex. And when I watch the open mic and all, it's not there are no easy fixes to complex problems. Because if you try something like that, you only make the problem worse. Now, just trust me with that. And I think the city is approaching it in a very open-minded, with final goals at the end. Am I wrong with that, Pete? I mean, the goal is to have sufficient restrooms and have housing, but also to render what they can. Because it's not an endless well anymore. We're finding that out, right?
Right. And
So,
we know what the state budget funding for drug addiction and mental health on the state level is not to the level that we need it to be. But we are in an age right now, especially from a funding standpoint, that we need to be watching everything because they're, for the city, and it's been mentioned at school committee meeting, there are certain title grant monies that the city of Pittsfield has received over the years that are currently put on hold. And so, if those monies don't come in, what do you do to run those programs? And some of it revolves around adult learning, some of it revolves around our most needed community. So we'll need to be, paying attention closely to all of it and trying to find ways, if the funding doesn't come through, to maintain as much of what we can, and it won't be able to be at all.
yeah, and I think for the audience, heed and listen to what the mayor just said, because right now, somebody in Boston, but putting the state's budget together is like standing in quicksand, because they don't know what's next. And I worry about. I use this one word. You've heard me say it before. It's fine. There's fat everywhere, but let's. Used as we're cutting, you the first word should be humanity, because as Peter said, there the mayor, there are people who desperately need these, desperately need them, and to take them away, programs that are proven to be so beneficial. I'll give you one. RSVP, half of the I would say half Peter or maybe more of the not-for-profits probably would have difficulty staffing people that RSVP sends volunteers to, like at the playhouses and places like that. So to cut RSVP's budget is just, and I don't know if they are or they aren't, but though that came to mind. And the other one that drives me nuts is don't even talk about cutting the school lunch and the school meal program, because you want kids fed to learn. And when you're sitting there hungry, you're not learning. But on a happier note, toters are a success.
Yes.
Toters, I don't care. I get hate mail every time I say you're on, we talk about toters. I get hate mail. But I have to tell you, and to the drivers of Casella and Casella, thank you, because they do. Not everybody's following the rules, But they improvise and overcome. And I can't say enough good things about that company and their employees.
Well, I mean, I know as we were going through the debate and the discussion and the community meetings, it wasn't an easy conversation to be had most of the time. But I think, when you look at other communities around us, other communities in the Commonwealth, other communities, it works, right? It's not like, hey, Pittsfield was coming up with this new crazy outlandish idea, and geez, it's not going to work here. And I would picture he kept saying, hey, it works in Cape Cod, Florida. Hey, it's in Miami, Florida. Hey, it works. That you could turn around and say, well, a couple things there. Florida is much more flatter of a community than Massachusetts, and it doesn't snow in Florida. But when we can point to many communities within Massachusetts that
Right.
use the system,
Yeah.
and the problem is it's change, right? It's changing the way that we've always done things, and it was not a new conversation, right? Pittsfield's had the conversation
For years.
for years. I think that the biggest hurdle was it was going to be change. And then the second biggest hurdle was what size toter were you going to use? Now, when we had the conversation before, seniors generally advocated for the smaller the better.
Right.
I'm not sure that there's any validity for a senior wanting a smaller toter based on size or that. If you the weight of a 32-gallon toter versus the weight of a 64-gallon toter is minimal.
Yeah.
And if you can get by with a 32-gallon toter, you're not putting that much trash weight-wise into your toter, so it's not going to change. But it's bigger. It might be a little bit harder to maneuver if you're 5'2" and 120 pounds. But I think the argument was more of a passion one than of
Yeah.
a realistic
Change.
one. And it was change. On the argument for larger families wanting a 96-gallon toter, sure. And that makes sense because that's what you always throw out.
Right.
But if you're looking at for something that's going to provide savings to a community and put all trash collection somewhat on a level playing scale and stop the exponential increase of what trash costs are, then I think we needed to venture there. And it was a rocky road
Yeah.
in terms of convincing folks that it was going to be okay. Now that we're approaching the 1 year anniversary of the first
Yeah.
toter being rolled out, people have adjusted. People have figured it out. We saved 700,000 in trash disposal.
What?
Our recycling hit double digits and doubled from about 9% to 20% and still continuing to grow. Do we need to do more outreach? Sure. Do we need to be convincing folks that recycling is important, and the more we recycle, the less we pay for those things to be disposed of as compared to trash.
Right.
And you have said several times about teaching the kids at school. Well, throughout the next year, we need to ensure that public buildings are operating the same way that homes are operating. And so, how do we figure that out and how do we make that happen? And as we're doing that, the kids in school are going to be learning this process
Oh,
and
cool.
they can assist to go at home. And but like I've talked to a number of people who have been creative. like under their sink, they got three buckets
Yeah.
of trash, and they move it, or their cans and bottles here, their papers here, and their trash is here.
That's what we have. Yeah.
And so, I ask people to change their living habits, and that isn't always an easy thing because I'm used to doing this, right? We have our routines. You know what the routine is. My morning wake up routine, the alarm goes off, I get out of bed, I let the dogs out. But before I let the dogs out, I need to start the Keurig machine so that it's ready when I'm done with the dogs, right? You have that routine. And then when you miss that routine up, you go to
Oh,
get your coffee and you didn't turn the Keurig on. You're like,
grumpy all day.
yeah. So we all have our routines and we get into it. And, I don't want to oversimplify what we did or doing, but I think that if we want to do things differently, we have to get away from this is the way we've always done it. And, I've been trying to deal with an overtime issue and say, okay, are we, using our dollars and our manpower efficiently? Are there better ways of doing things? And when you start asking those questions, there is the, what, am I not doing a good job?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do about whether or not you're doing a good job. It has to do with, can we do better? And how, what does that look like? And I think with everything we do, even just going back momentarily to the camping ban ordinance, like we put it out there and it had some things that like I wasn't that comfortable with, but they were there. All right. We have the ability to collaborate and work together and compromise. Criminalization has been taken away. Aiding and abetting has been taken away. Fines are there, and people are giving me a hard time and saying, well, if they don't have any money, how can they pay a fine? We're adding a community service piece. So if you can't pay your fine,
Yeah.
you can work it off in community service.
That's
So,
excellent.
like, just continue to engage in conversations. Am I going to make everyone happy with this issue? No. Because if I do nothing, there will be a percentage of people that are unhappy. If I do something, there's going to be a percentage of people that are unhappy. And so I don't know how to win or lose that battle. I think you lose that battle no matter what because you can't make everyone happy.
And I think before we go to break too, I do want to say this. It was the right thing at the right time to do. And really picture that as a difficult time changing. But I'll leave you with something that I heard years ago. You can't order people to change. You have to show them how to change. And I think you guys really tried to do that with all the town meetings and but there's people and I know there's people that are going to be resistant no matter what because it's change and but when we go forward, think of what he just said. We saved a lot of money and made a lot of money on recycling, and who knows, with these budget cuts, we may need that money to provide school lunches. Just think about that. Because I think it's important that people, we have to change. If you don't change, you become stagnant. If you're stagnant, then you're not doing anything for anybody. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are now simulcasting down broadcasting down into Southern Berkshire. I do want to thank the mayor for coming on and just remember this. I have to say this. When Mayor Marchetti moved into the corner office, he had a lot of years in government. So this, as the old saying goes, maybe it's a different rodeo, but it's not his first rodeo. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
The Pittsfield Health Department is hosting monthly wellness clinics available to the community at the Christian Center, Senior Center, Epworth Arms, Capitol Square, and South Congregational Church. Vital sign checks, medication reviews, and health assessments are offered by the public health nurse. Our social worker will be there with information of available resources as well. For more information about these clinics, please contact us at 413-499-9411.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, he's the mayor. That's not gray hair, it's blonde. No, that's what I tell people. We're here with the mayor today. We've talked about toters, we've talked about budgets, and now the city of Pittsfield. One of the things I've noticed, and I'm sure anybody else who's driven down North Street or driven down First Street, is the tourists are back. Thanks be to God, because they bring a lot of money with them, and they enjoy coming here, but. Just be patient. I mean, the other day there were three cars ahead of me, the light changed, and a guy laid on his horn. Now, I don't know whether he wanted me to try to push those three cars ahead of me or what, but there was nothing I could do, or who knows. But, Peter, a lot of work, not just road work, but a lot of good work. But you went on, I meant to go with you, but I got waylaid. Your handicap walk. Linda started that, and I was on a few. Boy, that has proven to be very beneficial, I think, to the city and Commissioner Morales.
No, I thought it was right. I mean, we had the perfect opportunity. There was the Disabilities Commission meeting. The month of July became the anniversary of the ADA signing.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, it was 35 years. So it gave us the opportunity to kind of pause, recognize, celebrate, and then go for a walk. Now, you know, I think if people are like, well, why are you doing that? What are you going to learn? And
volumes.
You know, and some of it, I could tongue in cheek say not much, right? We went out to City Hall. We raised the disability awareness flag, and then we went on a walk. We started out walking through Dunham Mall. Well, I don't need someone in a wheelchair or a motorized wheelchair or a walker to tell me that an uneven surface like what's inside the Dunham Mall is bad. And if there's uneven curbs and uneven stuff, like we all could figure that out if someone put you to the challenge. But we got to the light at first, or not first, North and Fenn.
Yeah.
And Brian Fitzpatrick said to me, what's wrong with this? And I looked at it and I'm like, I don't know. It looks like it's at the right size or right height for you to be able to push the button. And then Brian looked at me and put his hands up and said, what if you can't push the button? And I went, oh, right. So there was my aha moment of, I wouldn't have thought about that. And so if you couldn't reach to push the button, how does the button get activated? So is there a possibility for motion sensors? And then I think we have to engage in the conversation with, my disability is that I'm blind. I don't see the little Walkman pop up
Yeah.
and know that I can cross. So where's the audio
Right.
piece to that? And does it stay green for the pedestrian long enough for the person
Right.
to get from one side of the street to the other? And you know, like you were saying before, that three cars in front of you and the person behind you is blaring on the horn. The intersection that I'm probably in the most is the intersection of Columbus and North.
Exactly.
And I've been there long enough to learn the traffic signal pattern. And so if you are trying to take a right onto North Street from Columbus and someone has pushed the walk signal and the walk signal is there, the little hand comes up to let you go, and then the flashing countdown of 16 to 1 happens. And literally, the moment that countdown hits zero, the Columbus Avenue light turns green.
Yeah.
Like at the same time, it turns zero and the street light turns green. Now, if I'm not paying attention, has the person fully made it across the street? And so, you know, even though you're doing a countdown, like I asked the question, does it get to zero? Should there then be a couple seconds more before the light turns green rather than both
Sure.
happening at the same time? You know, I'm not the expert in engineering and traffic studies, but it's something that like I've noticed. And in some cases, especially in an intersection like that, you see all the nice crosswalks, but what if I want to go diagonally?
Right.
Does that make sense to be able to cross the street diagonally rather than from one end of North to the other and then cross Columbus or however? And so like when you're sitting in a light, you kind of pay attention to those things, but you wouldn't think about that if you weren't in those places.
Right.
You know, I was at
Go ahead.
A family funeral, and you know, my cousin said about his brother that he took me to the beach and he showed me how beautiful it was. And my cousin's blind.
Yeah.
And so like think about the family interaction there and what it would have been like to describe to your brother how beautiful the ocean is and the beach is, and then being able to put that image into someone else's mind so that they know how beautiful it is. And so if you don't have experience dealing with someone with a disability, you don't pay attention to
exactly right.
Those things. And so I think it's important that we take the time, you know, to look at, do we have adequate handicap accessibility, whether it ranges from access to buildings, walkways, parking spaces, what do we need to make sure that we have? And you know, with downtown parking regulations, there are probably not enough handicap spots.
Exactly. Well, they took away.
On North Street, but if you have a handicap placard,
you can park anywhere.
You can park any place, right? So how do you make up for a deficiency? I mean, there's limited parking on North Street as it is. So if you said 20% needed to be handicapped, now you've kind of impeded upon. But how can you make parking available to someone with a handicap placard across the board? So sometimes you got to get creative.
I also think too, you know, we hear so much about Massachusetts and Berkshire County and Pittsfield being an aging community. And I think not that aging is a handicap, but I'll tell you, it slows you up. Let's put it that way. But I think what you're trying to do is a good idea. Where I find the biggest kind of challenges, some of the lights, they do chirp, some don't. But I think for older people, add 2 or 3 seconds to the light. Now, it doesn't seem like a lot, and I don't know the traffic laws. I'm like you, or the traffic flows. But boy, I'll tell you, there's a couple. You got to be like an Olympian to get across the street. And I can remember working with Kevin Sherman and a bunch of people to get the Maplewood and North light, Linden, Maplewood and North, extended, because that belonged to the state, and they have a different formula. And you had to be an Olympian, I mean, to get across. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that the city is doing. And the reason I want this program, and I have this program, and I have the mayor on once a month and others, is because we are moving forward. We may not have the mayor, and when I say, as a city, all of us are moving forward. But the administration is working on 100 things at once. And that walk to me, I'll tell you, when I was on it, a person that was with us was visually impaired. And up by where Dottie's used to be, that little parking lot there, the person, because the curb, the sidewalk is there, but there's a piece that juts out, and he was walking on the sidewalk and almost fell because the piece juts out into what would be a sidewalk. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's what he saw. That's what I saw.
Well, and again, we can see it and we can move around it. So
right.
We don't pay attention to things like that.
Yeah.
And we need to. So I think it's important that sometimes we do things to put you out of the elements. You know, we're all, like I said before, we're all creatures of habit. We have our stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, every once in a while when we were doing training in the banking world, when we would talk about or do some trainings, if you took the same route to work every day, you put yourself in a position where you travel the same road, you park in the same place. So
you're an easy target.
Yep. And so, you know, you kind of think about that on a frequent basis. And so, you know, there's no simple solution to any of our city's problems. But I think that just because there are simple solutions doesn't mean that we should ignore the problems. And that's kind of the motto that we have taken since taking office.
It's obvious that you're taking on the hard issues. Well, I mean, but you've been there a long time. Look at one of the things that I applaud you for doing, looking at preventative maintenance in the city buildings. If it costs $1,500 now, 10 years from now, it'll cost $55,000. Thank you guys for doing
some of it's the simple thing, right? This weekend, we have the Korean War Memorial Celebration. And when folks show up, the area should look
nice,
clean, refreshed, respected. And, you know, I went to one several years ago and I heard about it. And last year it was like, okay, some of these bushes are kind of overgrown. Can we trim them back? And got the notification of the press release that okay, it's that time of year again. The Korean War Memorial celebration is taking, and it was like, forward. Can we just make sure this area has been refreshed? And you know, it's those simple things that if we pay attention to what the medians in the downtown look like, what the medians, and so if it looks like a clean, refreshed city, then there's part of the first hurdle. If it looks run down, then maybe it is. It's the broken window theory. And so to be able to do all that we need to do is impossible because the funding isn't there. But we need to continue to be looking at whenever we can, right? And for many, many years, we played kick the can down the road. So when we needed to do the upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant, if we had done them 20 years sooner, it might have been half the price. We know that we have to do upgrades to our water facilities. And we know that some of the water mains that are in the ground are ancient.
Yeah.
Ancient. And, you know, we know that the number of water leaks that we have. And so you can only put the Band-Aid on it for so long before you've got to kind of do a bigger approach. And, you know, I think it's the same with the roads. For my entire career, we almost always borrowed money to do roads.
Yes.
And we paid off the road after the road needed to be repaired again. How can we do things differently? And, you know, I worry as we've been trying to work a budget and get a budget that is more realistic. I think our budget will show that department turnbacks will be very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be multi-millions of dollars. Where we may see monies is on our projections for local aid revenues, which we've always been conservative. But if the budget doesn't continue to free up $4 or $5 million in free cash that we use to put at the tax rate and use for roads,
right,
then we'll need to find other avenues of doing things. But trying to work on more than one issue at a time, right? We have some really great news coming up in the near future.
Right.
Either the August meeting or one of the September meetings with some job growth and companies. One of the things that we said that we needed to work on, and you know, a lot of good news could be coming shortly. And you know, I think one of the things somebody asked me yesterday, what are the two things, or what is the biggest thing that has really surprised you as being mayor?
Yeah.
You really weren't expecting. And one of them was the number of day-to-day personnel issues that you deal with.
Yeah.
But I think the other is the is the work that is needed to do economic development and trying to convince companies to move to Pittsfield. And you're always competing with others. And, you know, when you're competing with a company within the state, you're dealing with a level playing field, at least from a state assistance piece. But us being in the Berkshires, we're not just dealing with companies that have other opportunities to move to someplace else in the Commonwealth. Right. We've got folks that can move to the Tri-City area over in New York. We've got folks that can move to the Hartford area. So we need to really be on our A game as we're working. And one of the things that are in the back of my mind to do is come forward at a future city council meeting and really put forth maybe a 10-year history of all of the GE economic development monies that we provided to communities and how much job creation that created.
That's an interesting.
And also, what was that economic impact, right?
Yeah.
So the same with the TIF. So when we gave a TIF to Interprint, does everybody understand what that TIF did? Does everyone understand that expansion could have happened in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, or a community in Georgia? And so where were we on the table? But I think folks believe that we're giving away the store, and what we're really giving away is a percentage of something that we wouldn't have got if they didn't do the expansion or the rebuild. And so also putting together for the TIF, how much additional tax revenue that we received from that TIF that we wouldn't have received otherwise. And, you know, a $27 million expansion at Interprint is a nice chunk of change commercial real estate tax bill that, all right, and I'm making up numbers, but we gave up $1 million to make $7 million. That's a pretty good return. And so we're going to put that together to bring it forward to the council and bring it forward so that folks understand that when we're using the tools in the toolbox, here's what we're getting from that piece. And I think it's going to be important for folks to understand that, because inevitably in my entire time of being on the council and now as mayor, it's there you go. You're giving the wealthy people a tax break. That's not what's happening. We're providing some encouragement for folks to do an expansion that increases our tax base and actually increases the amount of tax revenue that we get.
And that mantra is old now. I mean, it's whether it's political parties or the city against, it's an old mantra. As the mayor just pointed out, what's the old saying? You have to spend money to make money. And so you give people a snippet and they bring you back a bucket. So and that's kind of what these we've been burned. The city's been burned on a couple of tips, but that's, you know, that's doing business, I guess.
Then there's where the city needs to make sure they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
And each year you need to certify that they've met their benchmarks.
That's right.
And if they haven't, it doesn't mean pull out the rug.
Nope.
You know, look what we did with the Holiday Inn Express on South Street. We provided the economic circumstances, COVID, got in the way, but we were monitoring. We knew they weren't making it. So we provided some modifications to those for them to be able to do that. And so, you know, even on the city's piece and, you know, the recent news, we're going after two former GE Economic Development recipients to see if we can recoup the money that we put out there. And, you know, I think in my mind, if we said, okay, here are the three hoops that you jump through, and when you jump through hoop one, we'll allow you X number of dollars, two and three. If you don't make it to the end, then we should be able to recoup our money. And I think they'll be there. And also, null and void the contract going forward.
Yeah.
If you haven't been able to make your stuff. And I think that the city needs to do those and it needs to pay close attention to that. And I have the utmost confidence in our community development staff that they are monitoring and doing that stuff. And again, from a transparency sake, we talked about bringing it forward. As we bring it forward, we should also highlight all those that have TIFs and what their progress are. From those things, and maybe we should do that on a yearly basis, because if you put the information out there, once you put the information out there, there's two things that can happen. Either you've put the information out there and people get it, or you put the information out there and those that want to spin it in the direction that they want to. But they're already spinning it in that direction now without the city's narrative. So if we put out the facts, then I think we've done what we could do.
I've had to go back, at least 15 times, because somebody said, what you said this morning on your program, and I go back and look at it, I didn't say that.
Right.
And it must happen to you all the time. It's not kind of breaking news, folks, but I'm going to let the mayor announce what his plans are for his future.
I think we talked about this.
Advice of counsel.
Right. I think the good part about being mayor is that the four-year term allows you to really get to work. Right now, if we were still under the old charter, I would be in the midst of a campaign re-election bid with the members of the council school committee. We don't have that, but we are in for 2027. Unless something crazy happens, such as I can't physically do the job, then we're in. And I think an 8-year stretch of being able to start projects and finish projects is where I need to be. And, you know, my hope will be, as I tell folks often, you know, the transition from Mayor Tyre to myself was a very easy transition, something that the city hadn't seen in about 25 years. And I, you know, recently saw someone who said, it's refreshing when I hear you give credit to the prior administration for something they've done, and acknowledge that when you're cutting a ribbon. And, you know, I think it's important that it takes all of us. You know, yesterday, as in we're taping on Friday. So yesterday, Thursday, we cut the ribbon for the new Taconic track. Again, there were a lot of people who played some role in that process, from Jim McGrath leading the project to Kaylin Ericetto, who advocated fiercely as a student that we provide a track that the students could use for track meets, to the administration and their foresight to be bringing forth both ARPA money and capital borrowings, to the members of the city council who supported those, to the coaching staff and the track members of both high schools. And so, you know, when something like that happens, sure, you can sit there and say, hey, look at me, ain't I wonderful, I did this. But very rarely does something happen in the city of Pittsfield that is all about one person. There's a team of people working together to make it happen. And I think it's important to highlight that team and to give credit where credit is due. I think that's important.
And with that, too, I have to commend all the people who worked on the 4th of July parade. It was magnificent. And tonight, we're saying goodbye to a lifelong Pittsfield. His heart was always here. Larry Bossidy passed away. He was not only was he a giant in Pittsfield, but he was a giant on the national and world stage. And it was an honor to know him. And Larry, thanks for everything that you've done, to include the last painting of the dome at PHS was done by Larry. Mayor Marchetti, I wish you the very best. Peter, I want you to rethink the mayor thing. But seriously, thank you for all that you're doing for all of us in the city. And really and truly, folks, before you criticize, what would you do differently and within the guidelines of the Commonwealth's laws and ordinances and all this stuff? That's what I, you know, don't criticize the Casala driver trying to reach over a car to get a garbage can, because could you do it? So with that, Peter, thank you so much. Pete,
thank
to
you.
The mayor and all of you, God bless. And let's take care of each other. In this big world, it's really turned kind of mean. We need to help each other, lift each other up, call somebody, make somebody smile. With that.
I think that's important, Bill, because tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us.
No.
And live each day like it's your last one and live it kindly.
One step at a time. Someday I'll tell you the story behind that. God bless, Peter, and everybody. Thanks, Brittany and Catherine, for everything. Bye, folks. And again, try to lift somebody up today. Don't be Debbie Downer. Bye-bye.